You know, a lot of people are thinking about where they live differently these days. And it's not just about demographics and all that kind of stuff. It's basically about cars. You know, for 50 years, we basically took our entire lifestyle and thought that the greatest lifestyle we could have would be a patch of dirt of our own in a place where, well, if we had to drive to get to schools, if we had to drive to get to the grocery store, if we had to drive to get to play dates, maybe that was okay because we had a big patch of dirt. Well, now that gas costs $4 a gallon, maybe that ain't such a great idea anymore. And there is a re-inhabitation of many urban centers, and New Haven is one of them. New Haven's had an enormous influx of residents in the last 10 years, and part of that is where we're standing now, which is Monterey Place.
Hi.
How you doing? Okay. Monterey Place in downtown New Haven. And the last portion of that is called Eaton Row. It was a project called Eaton Row that I was brought in on about 10 years ago. And Eaton Row evidences a bunch of different aspects of how people are thinking about downtowns differently than they've ever thought of them before. Eaton Row is about 35, 36 separate building lots carved out of an old housing, failed housing project from the 1950s, one of those classic block housing developments where they got abandoned and people sort of ran away from their occupancy because they were dangerous and ugly and just couldn't be maintained. So when they tore all those buildings down, the last portion of this were these 33, 34 housing projects, houses, individual houses that were ownership houses, not rentals, that had patches of dirt, not shared landscape that nobody would maintain, and actually thought of as being part of an urban fabric versus an isolated little utopia that was built by some wacky architect, you know, in mid-century. So the developer of this, a very enlightened guy, basically said, Jonathan Rose, said to me, I want you to vision this entire project aesthetically. And so we worked with a great landscape architect to deal with about 80 indigenous trees planted in that 1950s development that were now huge, you know, 50 foot tall, 2 foot in diameter, foot and a half in diameter, beautiful chestnut trees, if I remember correctly. Sycamore trees, I think, actually. Anyway, they're all throughout the entire project. And it was, and the landscape architect viewed it as kind of a new urbanism project, meaning that there was a real emphasis on pedestrian walkways, front porches, and made it a little urban space in the middle of it, a little circus, a little roundabout in the middle of it. And everything was planned well. And what ended up happening was I literally got fired from the job because I began to suggest things that were kind of funky and kind of interesting and weird. And I realized that, you know, that was incompatible with what they wanted to do, which is to just get this stuff out. But what survived the project, what really survived the project, was the three building lots that Jonathan Rose gave to us as at Habitat for Humanity in New Haven, where I've been a board member for 12 years. They gave it to us in the condition that we would actually make houses for the handicapped, because the federal loans they got, the federal grants they got, mandated that a certain percentage of the project had to be handicapped accessible. No stock plans would do that, and since the labor at Habitat is free, we're able to build stick-built houses versus modular houses that accommodated people that were in wheelchairs and people that had, in some cases, visual impairment. And we created three houses that fit. As you can see here, they fit, but they're slightly more animated. The porches are a little bit broader. You can see that there's actually a bedroom that is a little wing off the side. They have downstairs baths. They're a little bit more expensive.
But this is a beautiful, beautiful street.
Yes.
Right in the heart of the city.
You got it. And it shows you that with good planning and thoughtful sort of design, you can take a neighborhood that really is in trouble and you can give it a chance. You can really give it a chance. And it is a metaphor for what I think is the mindset of many people thinking about where they're going to live these days, especially empty nesters, but even young couples. I mean, you can buy the raised ranch in the suburbs, and you can, you know, have to have two cars and have to have a two-car garage and have to drive everywhere. And you can feel that pride and ownership of being isolated. Or you can have a similar pride and ownership, but maybe be walking distance to all these places. And of course, as you can hear, you know, we hear there's sounds in the city, stuff's going on, but that's part of the hustle and bustle. And you can make a case that you shouldn't have the way you want to live be determined by your house. And I think, you know, the Beaver Cleaver generation really bought into the idea that where we lived would be the metronome of, you know, drive to work, take your kids to school. Go every third day to the supermarket. maybe take that long drive to the restaurant for like a Saturday night dinner with a wife. Well, in New Haven, you can walk to a restaurant and pay, $12 and have some wacky ethnic food, and you can walk to a concert that's free a lot of the times. But there's a little bit of noise, you have to lock your doors at night, all that kind of stuff, all that normal stuff that happens in a city. But now people are thinking of it as an option, whereas before they didn't. And a lot of it people are thinking of it as an option because more developers are thinking about ownership, thinking about middle-class inhabitation of cities instead of being the very poor or the very rich. There's a vast middle ground of people that are thinking that maybe they want to re-inhabit something that maybe fell out of fashion in the 50s. So when you're thinking about your house, thinking about change, it's a nightmarish time. Property values are going down. Well, it's true. Property values are going down. But, property values are going down when you want to sell. That's bad. But property values are going down when you want to buy. And that's good. So pretty soon there's going to come a paradigm where these interest rates are still low enough and the prices of things get low enough that you can either as a first-time buyer or as an empty nester sell and move or have your little deposit that you've saved up over the years have enough power now as a percentage of what these lowered costs are going to leverage that the buying power of these lower interest rate mortgages becomes much, much greater. So don't throw aside the city as being a dark, dangerous, hard place. Look at the cities around Connecticut. Look at what's available. There are things there that I think might surprise you, and Eaton Row is one of them. And when you're thinking about where you want to put some of your, generosity, think about Habitat for Humanity. There are three branches in Connecticut. New Haven is only one of them. They reach almost every corner of Connecticut. So wherever you're listening to me now, think about Habitat when you want to think about volunteering or what you want to do, and think about the city as a place you might want to live.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.